Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have The Boyfriend, episodes 7 and 8. The boys race around in go-karts to win each other's hearts. We learn in these two episodes that love and life are not a circle like a racetrack, and sometimes when roadblocks are removed, our destinations can change. An amazing two episodes. So, lights out, and away we go. Good morning,
wow,
Juliet.
Wow, that was an amazing intro.
I was moved by these two episodes.
They were beautiful and so much to talk about and so many deep issues that were raised. I fell even more in love with the show after 7 and 8.
I try to usually write a fun, pithier intro, but today nothing jokey was coming out. It was a very, I had deep feelings about it.
Well, we can joke about your eye. What's going on over there? For all of you who are listening, it's too bad that we don't have video on us right now.
I know, it's not a visual medium, this podcast.
She has a blue, hacky sack looking thing that, I don't know, she heated up or put in the freezer, and it's compressed to her eye right now.
The product is literally called Sty. They somehow copyrighted Sty as the name of this product. It's like a little, those blue ball gel packs that you can heat or cold. There's a little pouch in there, and then there's this little...
So you're rubbing blue balls all over your eyes. Cool. That's how you get styes.
I got blue balls on my face like some of the boys and the boyfriend. Last week, I mentioned that I had a pimple on my eye. It is not a pimple. It is a chalazion.
Is that the scientific term? Yeah. That's the medical term?
It's basically a sty that's not on the lid, where a sty usually, it's just higher up, but it's basically the same concept. It's like a blocked gland and it's just got junk in there.
Well, okay. So I walked into the door and she faced me, and typically I try not to make these kinds of reactions to people's physical
deformities.
But I went, whoa. It was a bit shocking because I thought since you had it last week, it would have reduced in size,
but it's pulsating. Enlarged. Yeah.
Okay. So
I call it my Timothy Chalazion.
Very cute.
Well, I went to the doctor yesterday.
Oh, you did for it?
Well, I went for my annual. I'm going to get my blood test. And I was threw this sucker in there as well. And she's you just need to basically warm compress it and drain it out.
But does she know why that happened?
They're just these blocked glands that happened. It's maybe something. I've been using a lot of new products.
But can I? Yeah. Okay. So my theory was going to be that mask that you wore overnight, which is just sticking onto your skin for 9 hours, 8 hours.
And just blocked the gland. I've also just been trying a lot of new products. So my friend went to Paris over the summer, and on TikTok, there is a product called A313.
Yes.
They say it's this miracle retinol product that French women have been using for years, and you could just go to any, there's pharmacies all over Paris, and you just go to any pharmacy, and this thing is $13, but it's sworn by from French women. I don't know if it's a TikTok thing that's kind of gone out of control, but I've been trying it, and that's actually worked very well, but it's so thick. It goes on glue, paste.
But are you putting it on your eyes?
I'm not.
You're doing the rubbing up and down, right?
Yeah,
tugging at your skin.
I don't put on creams I know gentle Korean women do, which is that padding.
Nice
I'm a rubber.
Actually, that A313, I bought it in Paris about 10 years ago, pre-TikTok. So I think it's always been popular, but then now with TikTok, it has gone to a whole other echelon.
Our friend went to Paris recently and bought it herself. And then the pharmacist was like, are you American? Why are all these Americans coming and buying this?
And they're hoarding. They're buying hundreds of bottles.
Well, the same friend is going back to France at the end of the month. So I told her to just stock me up. But I got to keep it away from my eye glands. Because I cannot have another Timothy Chalamazon.
Chalamazon, I mean.
The other name I was thinking was Charlizion Theron.
It doesn't roll off the tongue the same way. Well, I guess it's the week of old lady ailments because I also got sick. And I saw you on Saturday because we were at a barbecue. And while we were there having a great time, my son suddenly had to go to the bathroom many times. And then, like, it became obvious to everybody that he was having the shits. And so, you know, you were laughing. We were all laughing about it because who doesn't love to laugh about diarrhea? But I was watching him thinking, okay, the clock is ticking for me because anytime one of my kids gets something, it always ends up in my body. And then by the next afternoon, I was basically doubled over in pain. I didn't quite get to the diarrhea phase, but I was just not well.
Which is sucky because you have the pain, but you don't get to lose the weight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was like, please come out. Anyway, TMI. But then I was feeling really good because I basically didn't eat anything. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just like losing weight. But then the first things that you get to eat are bread.
Yeah.
And bananas. And bananas, you know, so then you just blow it up again. So that was my week.
I was going to say, I actually had other than the insane pulsating red glob on my eyelid, I've actually had a really nice week because there's like maybe 3 to 4 weeks in San Francisco in the summer where it's just so.
The weather is so good.
Beautiful and nice.
Because usually San Francisco is quite windy. It's always a little foggy.
But this week it was just like so nice. I really enjoy my commute. I'm on my own. I get to listen to whatever I want in my AirPods. And so I'm just like walking through the city. I felt like, have you seen Enchanted with Amy Adams?
No.
She's this storybook princess and she comes out of the sewer into New York City. And so she's still a princess though in New York City. So she's just like la 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 la. And like the birds that are usually like sparrows that come land on her are actually pigeons. And she's just like singing to the rats in the subway. That was what I felt like going through the city. I was just like, la, 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 la. And then there's just rats scurrying by. But yeah, so other than my eyes dye, it's been actually a very nice week.
Oh, so you've gone outside with that? With Timothy Chalamet-Zion?
Oh, I've introduced him to friends and fam. Oh, yeah.
Woof.
I mean, yeah, you cannot hide yourself away. You got to show your true self.
Ain't that the truth?
The people we know who are showing their true selves to the world are the boys in the greenhouse on The Boyfriend. We have episodes 7 and 8, which are nice two like dual episode pack because it starts in episode 7 so far from where episode 8 ends.
Mm.
Right, you get like so many arcs of so many people and there's a lot of ups and downs, but then it like comes together neatly at the end. It almost felt like episode 8, we could have just ended here. Like, this could be the show.
Yeah.
I don't know what 9 and 10.
I mean, they're probably going to bring another person in or something crazy.
Really, one last
surprise
try to, like, screw everyone up. But episode 7, we start with Shun. Ugh. Our feelings change about him.
It was a roller coaster of emotions towards actually several of these guys.
Yes.
Shun being number one because you hate him in the beginning. He is so moody and unstable.
He really is. And he is just so toxic. Like the whole time I have Britney Spears toxic in the back of my head. I'm addicted to you. Don't you know that you're toxic? Like it's so perfectly about Shun. If we think back to the previous episodes, Shun distancing himself from Dai, right? And so he told Dai, we should just be friends. Your energy is not good for me. And Dai has been very respectful of it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're here and we had a picnic in the last episode where Dai's living his life and he's hanging out with Ikuo and kind of leaving Shun off in Lonely Boy's corner. And so Shun is like, how could you leave me like that? You say you like me, your words don't matter.
You're all talk.
Dai says, can I say one thing? Shun shakes his moody ass head and he says, no, don't bother. Like,
I mean, at this point too, I think I'm having to question Dai's sanity a little bit. Like,
seriously.
Why do you keep putting yourself in this situation? I know you are physically very attracted to him, but if you had your head on straight, you would know that this guy is toxic. And then
and the things that you're seeing right now, this is him.
This is him. And, you know, let me tell you, let us tell you about relationships. What you see initially, they become more of whatever that is. Shun also has these very passive aggressive, or maybe it's aggressive, movements where he will like shoo him away with his hand, or the times where he's flicked his hands away. I find that so disrespectful.
Yeah, it's very rude. He's just like kind of dark and twisty inside.
Yeah.
And it really shows in his actions and his words. So Dai is, you know, again, the sucker. He tells the camera, okay, maybe Shun doesn't just want to be friends now. Like after that conversation, Dai should have run away. Dai should have been like, you're a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
And instead he's like, oh, maybe there's hope. Shun's sweatshirt says, this, never that. And I was like, that is so apropos of his personality. Yes. You know, it's like, is it this? Is it that? It's never that, but it's never this. You know, he's just keeping guessing. So we kind of start with this Shun Dai stage setting of there's just confusion between the two of them. But Dai is feeling hopeful and Shun is being his terrible self. Instead of doing the coffee truck, they all get to go to a go-kart racetrack. The winner gets to fulfill a wish. At this point, literally everyone other than Shun and Dai want to date Kazuto.
All roads point to Kazuto.
I mean, even Taehyun wanted to spend time with Kazuto. I mean, get in line.
What is it with this guy? We said the last few weeks that we wanted to marry him. So there must be something that we are also sensing. But I think just kind of watching him on the show, I'm not sure why everyone is so attracted to him. Could it also be that the others are just not very great candidates?
Or the others are very specific to a taste.
Yes.
Like Kazuto is a very kind of every person's person.
Yes.
He's mild-mannered.
That's a good point.
Right? He looks very kind of every man. Like a lot of people could like that look.
Yeah.
He's quite like kind of generic.
He's not
looking.
Like too good looking. Yes. He's not unattractive, but he's like pleasant.
Right.
Pleasant to look at. Pleasant personality, very easygoing,
gets
along with everyone.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when you're forced into a house, into this situation, you might go for like the comfortable person.
Right.
And he feels like comfort zone. Kazuto, though, feels very put upon in these few episodes. I felt like he really needed to win this thing so that he could pick.
Yeah. He has had no agency.
Yeah. Because if those boys won, he was getting dragged somewhere. Yeah. It's actually quite fun. These boys are having a good time. They're racing around. Shun sneaks in a win.
That was a surprise.
I know. I think everybody's just trying too hard because they're so desperate to try to get their Kazuto wish that they're like spinning out and they're just kind of not doing well.
I thought Kazuto would be a great driver because he's driving the coffee truck every week, but it actually turns out he's terrible.
Yes. You need more finesse when you're lower to the ground.
He must just be like a grandpa driver. That's why they trust him to drive the coffee truck.
Like, you know, everybody else is trying super hard spinning out. Of course, Shun, in his stupid normal way, doesn't try at all and still wins. He gets asked, what's your wish? Everyone's so excited to be like, what's your wish? What's your wish? He just stands there like a real asshole.
He says nothing. He says, I don't want to do anything.
I don't have a wish.
I was speechless. There is something very twisted about his behavior. It is like attention seeking. It's pity seeking.
And woe is me.
Yeah.
Also, it's selfish because he wasted this opportunity for everybody. If you knew you weren't going to do
it. Somebody like Ryota was like, motherfucker, I was going to get a date with Kazuto finally.
Finally. And also, you know, like if you know you're going to be a dick about it, don't win. Let somebody else win. But is he also winning so that he can stand there, wait for everybody to ask
and
him.
Torture, die.
Yeah. And make a point. He's using this to make a point to everybody and Dai.
Yeah. I don't want any of you.
Yeah. And I don't need you, Dai. It's just like he takes every opportunity he can, at least up until episode 8, to hurt Dai. And to assert control. It's interesting because the commentators watch this and they try to twist it into something nice. They go, oh, he's so funny. That's so him. I think our favorite says, oh, how nice to just say you don't have a wish, because sometimes you feel like you're forced to say something you don't even want. Like, really?
Well, again, I think they're being cautious because they could have obliterated him with that.
Yeah.
And somebody like that could have been pushed further into a dark place.
Yeah.
So given the history, I think they held back.
I know. I think the point of the commentators in the past terrace houses was kind of to be a proxy for us as the audience.
Right. But they're so mild.
Too cautious now.
Yeah, in all of their commentary.
I know. That is actually has made them less
useful. Yeah. Right. We don't need them anymore.
So Shun wins the race, kart game, but wins nobody's heart. So we see a lot of die trying hard with Shun, because Shun had told him, you know, your words don't matter to me, so show me in other ways that you like me. And so Dai's like, okay, so if words don't mean anything, then maybe I'll try physical touch. So he's been giving him a lot of head massages, back massages. Mm-hmm. They hug deeply before they go to sleep. Shun says, you are awesome today. Like, he's just like judging him.
Yeah.
Every moment for all his
poor
actions.
Poor Dai.
I know.
He's being jerked.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth. Not literally.
Well, maybe literally later.
So then the whole group decides they're going to drink to connect. But they're having to have like a strategy meeting about when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, who's going to be there, what they're going to be eating. Or should they be eating? Should they be so, you know.
Is it before sunset? Is it before sunset? Yeah.
And I was really confused by it. And so Shun's reaction to me is not, doesn't seem that off, because I would be like, what is going on?
I know, but it's also like, you know, the conversations between friends. Like,
yeah.
If you were to hear our conversations right. with our friends, right, we're like kind of all talking in circles. We're kind of all talking yeah. about the same thing we've been talking yeah. about for 10 years. So I get that these conversations go in circles, but also...
But also, it's yeah. part of being in this house, yes. right? Like, you need to accommodate for everyone. Shun, however, because he is... I don't want to, you know...
He's
I don't want to make these like, crazy judgments on him, but he obviously has problems. But he closes his eyes, puts his head back, and makes it very noticeable and obvious to everyone else that he does not want to engage in this conversation, right? So to the point that people, Alan looks over and is like, are you okay? I've met people like this before, you know, that like really take all the energy out of the room.
Just suck it dry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then everyone is tiptoeing around them. Mm-hmm. That is not a good person to be around. It's not good for the group. Anyway, so.
Well, he's also like, isn't there a whole thing right now with this Dr. Becky, who everyone's obsessed with in the toddler world? And they're, you know, there's these deeply feeling kids. Is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he feels like a deeply feeling kid. He's just a person yes. who kind of can't get control over
his
emotions.
He can't regulate his yeah. emotion. Like, when he's feeling something really strongly, he can't regulate it.
He just like shuts down.
Yeah. Which, again, given his past, you know, we can be empathetic to why he is the way he is, but also he needs to buckle up and get it together. But so he's tired. Mm-hmm. And immediately after that, the group is doing a coffee truck assignment, and Dai is the person who gets to choose two people that raise their hands to work with
him. It's the first time we get to see two people
yes.
chosen.
So, and this, you know, you got to be strategic. Do you want two people there, or are you only going to select one person?
And so, yeah, so it's time for the boys to raise their hands. And a few hands shoot up. But the one noticeable hand that does not shoot up is
Shun. After all of it, after he gave him this like crazy boner, you know, hug the night before. I how confused. Like, he was like lifting him up in the hallway. Yes. Remember? Like, he was just like wiggling him around. And then the next day he decides, I'm not going to raise my hand to work with him.
He's just staring at the ceiling. I wrote, what the fuck, this fucking guy. Could he be the literal worst? He says, it became a hassle.
Yeah. So he texts him later and apologizes, but he says, like, I was just too exhausted from that conversation.
It's funny. I have a Japanese-American friend who was born in Japan. So I go to her as my Japanese source of
yes.
truth. And I texted her. I said... I was just like so mad after episode 7. I said, is Shun being Japanese in a way I don't understand? Or is he just a huge, gigantic asshole? And this friend says, Dai is very Japanese. Shun is not.
Mm.
He has a very tiring and off-putting personality.
Okay.
Okay,
so this is a universal, universally understood, annoying person.
So that was episode 7. It was quite a roller coaster. So because Shun doesn't raise his hand, Ikuo raises his hand, and Dai takes Ikuo out on the truck. Ikuo now knows that Dai likes Shun, and I think everybody knows that Ikuo likes Kazuto. So between these two boys, there's no more romance
yeah,
left.
They're definitely good friends.
So they just have a very nice day together. Back at home, and now this is into episode 8, Shun seemingly starting to feel regret. He calls himself a troublesome person to the camera.
He knows.
Even the commentators are like, thank God he yeah. knows himself.
Well, the commentators are like, oh, he just needs attention. I was like, no, bro, he needs therapy.
He needs Zoloft. So he actually acts like a human being, finally. He texts Dai, you know, trying to explain to himself like why he didn't raise his hand. But he doesn't actually say sorry.
No.
And Dai
Dai was so mature because he was like, listen, I felt like you were pushing me away and I think there was a better way to handle this. And mm-hmm. again, in Shun fashion, he waves him away and he's like, he gets mad about having been criticized.
Right.
But our sweet Taehyun
comes in
and saves their relationship, frankly.
I mean, if he can't get any ass on this show, he might as well be the therapist.
Yes.
Earn his chicken dinner.
After this, we gotta have a Taehyun corner because I have some things to say about him.
Okay.
But good things. But he's such a good friend. Gives Shun really good advice without making him feel bad. And he's like, listen, you may not know if what he said was the right thing. You may feel like maybe your choice was the right one. But you know that you care about him and you hurt his feelings. So you could say. And Shun finishes the sentence and he says, sorry. Yeah. Because he realizes it's not really about whether it was right or wrong or that what he said was rude. It's like he knows at the core of this argument is that he made Dai feel bad. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's on him. Yeah. Right? That's on Shun.
So he does it. Good on Shun. He goes to the kitchen. I'm sorry I made you feel bad. When he says it, Dai has the biggest smile and hugs him and says thank you.
Yeah.
He's just a really mature, great guy. Just accepted it.
Yeah. I wish that Ikuo would have gotten the F out of the kitchen, but the kid has no nunchi.
He's just standing there washing his green onions. Guy, this is going to be a big moment between these. Yeah,
he's like, I got to eavesdrop on this one.
You're hustling. So it now feels like the ice has melted. It feels like these two are finally on the same page, on steady ground. Shun has really made up for his past actions. After this touching kitchen scene, it's supposed to be the party where they're like that they were planning.
The drinking time.
We could talk about Taehyun now. He asks the group, as they're supposed to like be partying, he asks everybody about their coming out stories.
Yeah.
And he's sharing his own.
But he hasn't come out.
But he has not come out to his own parents. It sounds like also he's kind of had a sad upbringing.
Yeah, that's right. Because he said he was raised by his grandmother. He went to boarding school. So he's actually not very close to his parents.
He's been shipped off since he was 10.
Yeah. And for him to go and tell them now feels like they're almost strangers. He's not sure how they would react. They edited some of the scenes, but there was one part where he's like, I don't even think this is like a Korean and Japanese difference, cultural difference. I think that for me, it's because I just don't think that they know who I am. And they have this expectation of me that I may not be meeting and that may not make them happy. And I thought it was a really beautiful conversation. And I know I thought it was going to be a party too, but I do remember they were trying to connect with each other. Mm-hmm. It was, I feel like they feel that they haven't really like let their walls down with each other. Taehyun, I mean, he's always kind of held a special place because, you know, he's my brother.
From another mother.
Yeah. But also he hasn't gotten the screen time that I think he should have gotten, but also he's proving to be such a great person. He's such a good friend, gives great advice, also seems very grounded and genuine.
Yeah. He's almost like, you know, the wise elder.
Yes.
And so in these shows, you know, what we actually want are the unstable young.
Yeah. That's where the entertainment lies.
Yeah. And so when you're like a very stable elder, like there isn't as much drama potentially.
Well, on that point, Yusak, mm-hmm. who just left, was one of the older ones as well. And I read on Reddit that everybody spoke to him formally.
Oh, interesting.
And so they were wondering if that also created a barrier where they felt like they couldn't get super close to him. On top of that, he's this like well-known go-go dancer. So he was put on a pedestal. And on top of that, he had a very shy personality mm-hmm. that made it harder to get to know him. And I think similarly with Taehyun, he's older.
Yeah. I wonder if they speak to him formally too. Mm.
So the thing I was going to say about Taehyun is he did come out to his parents before the show went out and he posted a picture of his cacao message to his mom. It was like, you know, please, if anybody says anything, I hope you don't get hurt. And she said, I won't be bothered by what anyone says. I still love you and like support you, which, oh, thanks. thank God, because, wow, you know, how scary to put yourself out on this show and then have your mom find out. And then he also had studied in London at a fashion school or an art school, and he had designed makeup brushes for men. And that was his, like, big graduate, like, project. But there's just, like, there's so much depth to this person that I've been very fascinated to learn more about.
Hopefully we get a little more of Taehyun in the next two episodes, but I'm not sure what else there is for him left to do.
Doesn't
on this
seem
show.
Like Mm-mm. he's on anyone's list. He keeps raising his hands for these coffee truck things, and nobody picks him.
But he's still putting himself out there.
He does.
He just wants to make friends. Everybody around the table telling their own coming out stories with their own families. It all feels generally like they were pretty well accepted. And Dai was like, oh, yeah, no, my parents were great about it. And you can just tell Dai, of course,
yes,
is the one who have parents that, like, loved him. You know,
he looks like so well, he seems so child. Secure. Yes. Yeah. In himself.
He's definitely the most well-loved kid yeah. on this show. Right. And it's showing up in the maturity he's showing as an adult. Before we go to the end of episode 8, we should talk about the others.
I mean, should we?
I think there's a little bit around Kazuto that we could talk about.
There is so much happening around Kazuto, but all ends sort of flat.
Right, because it's not actually action with Kazuto. It's a lot of people talking about Kazuto
yes.
and pining for Kazuto. Yes. Ikuo, who at this point, they kind of set it up so we don't actually know who his crush is, but he says to somebody, we don't see the face, like, hey, can I go talk to you outside? And then they go outside. You see Ikuo sit down. And then, of course, the mystery person who comes out is Kazuto. To me, at this point, it was like DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled! Hey! Another one! People in glass houses should not throw stones, because I have a gigantic red pimple-looking thing on my eyeball. But Ikuo has these pimples. And they really zoom up to his face, and I'm like, that boy could have used some acne patches.
In the Bible, there is a parable or a proverb that's like, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Oh, definitely I have a plank on my eye. I'll tell you that. Ikuo needs a Hello Kitty acne sticker,
that
would have made it a little bit more palatable. He says to Kazuto, I think I fell in love with you at first sight. You've been here for 4 days.
Yeah. And Kazuto very wisely is like, bro, you don't even know me.
So yeah, poor Kazuto. I mean, again, he's just fending off these wild animals. He's doing a good job. He just, like, needs a fly swatter. One of those electric fly swatters.
Oh my God. Zzz, the one that we have one of those. And I'm not sure if maybe the voltage is not strong enough, but then it'll zzz, and then the fly just comes back. And that's how Ikuo was. He's like, oh yeah, come back at me.
It only makes you stronger.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't kill me, makes me stronger. You have to do it like 4 times for it to finally meet its death. So maybe that's what Kazuto needs to do. Keep going at him.
He needs to charge his fly swatter.
But Kazuto is good at letting them down softly.
He just looks so burdened. Every time he sits down for these confessions.
And he's like hunched over.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like he's clear, but they're not getting the message.
Ikuo gets a turn to be the boss of the truck, and he picks just Kazuto. He's wearing eye makeup to this day.
Yeah, he was like an orange, right? He had orange under his eye.
He looked like he was like out too late the night before. He looks like Mugatu from Zoolander.
And then he proceeds to ask Kazuto, what's your favorite chore around the house? Way to start a conversation.
I mean, and it's funny because the three guys who raise their hands for him are Kazuto, Alan, and Taehyun. Again, Taehyun,
yes,
always in the mix.
I know. He's like, somebody pick me.
But Alan only raised his hand so that he could cock block the
yeah,
situation.
That's right. I love Alan.
Kazuto writes to him in the notebook, let's work together again. It's like, you know, when you see somebody that you run into in the street and you're like, let's grab lunch.
Right. You just say that.
You're just saying it.
But, you know, again, that's a mixed message.
Yes.
So Kazuto, I mean, I know he's such a nice guy. He's so polite.
But Ikuo does not get the hint. The next time there's another truck shift, it's Kazuto put in charge.
Oh my gosh. And every single person. Does Dai also raise his hand?
Oh yeah. Shun and Dai.
They all raise their hand. I think Kazuto must just be such a nice guy to be around.
And it's just really cute that Shun and Dai, they have huge smiles on their face.
And then he picks Gensei and Alan.
So cute.
And then he explains himself as picking them because he has never worked with them.
Right. Because Gensei was like, what is this?
He's like, oh, do I need to add you on my list now?
Because Gensei's like, all those boys are looking at me with envy. Right. Like daggers in my back.
I'm going to get murdered tonight.
They're going to poison me in my sleep. Can you just explain to me why I'm here? But, you know, this is why I think we love Kazuto.
Yes, I know.
He did it in the most democratic way possible. Yes. No hurt feelings. Like, right. This is a very solid reason why these two guys were chosen without feelings involved, you know?
Although that upsets Alan.
Yes, I know. Like,
wait, so because you haven't worked with me, that's why you wanted me?
We get a reprieve from Ryota Slinky Lizard Boy in these because he was at a shoot, but he comes back.
Like the fly, he's like, comes back. I'm coming back for what I want. Can't keep me down. So he goes and talks to Kazuto again, and he does this in this way that is very slinky, because Ikuo first said, hey, I want to use this as an opportunity to talk to Kazuto, and then as they're leaving, Ryota raises his hand and goes, I want to talk to Kazuto too, you know, like I feel like he doesn't take a whole lot of initiative.
He's always kind of just like reacting to the others.
Yes.
He, you know, is so upset that he doesn't get chosen for the coffee truck. He texts Kazuto while he's on the coffee truck date. Again, he did this last time.
Yeah.
This is needy behavior. People do not like this kind of thing.
And also very passive aggressive. Like, oh, are you having fun with the three people?
Yeah. Like, oh, the three of what you? Are you guys doing out there? We're selling coffee, bitch. Like, leave me alone. Can eat. Yeah. So he's just very mopey. He's very down about it. So all these boys after the coffee truck date are just very confused about Kazuto's feelings. Ikuo goes out there. How do you feel about me? Boom. Rejected. It's like playing that clown game at the arcade with a ball, and you just basically hit these clowns and they just go down one by one.
Yes.
He is just throwing balls at these poor clowns. So Ikuo gets rejected. Ryota says, hey, can I talk to you? Also,
Tomodachi, friend zoned. No. And Ryota takes it well in front of his face and then goes to his room and basically cries himself to sleep.
I know. He does say nice things, right? Like, Ikuo has a big crush on Kazuto. Nobody's clear why. Ryota says something nice. He says, I really like seeing you smile. I like making you laugh. And it feels like in the last few days you haven't been smiling as much.
Yeah, fool, because you've been slinking around him.
Yeah. So it does, though. It's a person who actually notices his feelings as a person versus Ikuo, who's just
thirsty. And Kazuto says pretty much the same to him. Like, I don't know how you could be in love with somebody or profess this much affection for someone that you just met.
So it's time. We're at the back half of episode 8 now. It's announced that everybody gets another try at the matching date.
It's the last one. Final date.
The first couple to be sent on their overnight date is
Shun and Dai, which
thankfully,
expected.
Because Dai was sitting there being like, this mofo better pick me. If he doesn't pick me.
I mean, Shun knew there's only 2 episodes left. He couldn't drag this on any longer. Never. If he did, we would have to turn it into a 16 episode series.
At this point, we've only ever had one match. We've never had more than one couple go away. So then we get another one.
I mean, the Kazuto one is big because everyone's like, who's it going to be? I mean, it definitely would not be Ryota, not Shun and Dai.
No.
He really only has Alan and Taehyun and Gensei.
Right.
We know it's not going to be Gensei.
We know it's not Taehyun.
We know it's not Taehyun. I expected it would be Alan, but I also was so happy when they said Alan.
Happy, a little surprised, I guess, definitely when you surprised. Like go down the list when you say it like that. Yeah, it makes sense. But I wasn't sure how it ended on that last date and that he'd want to get attacked again.
Well, yeah, because he also told the camera it was too much.
Yeah.
And the personality is too much. And I think we need to talk about this whole thing about who somebody is naturally versus who you shape yourself to be to meet the other person. But we'll get there after we talk about their dates.
And then the third pairing was the biggest surprise of all. I loved this so much. Ryota is the first name that comes up.
Oh my gosh.
And that's Gensei.
It made me smile, but I was like, is this a sloppy second situation?
I know. So we'll get to their date, which I think might have been my favorite date of all of the dates we've seen so far. So we'll get to them. Let's finish up with Kazuto and Alan. Kazuto and Alan get to go to like a glamping site, and it's a lot calmer
than the last.
There's no bathing, which I think helps keep Alan at bay.
But Alan has learned his lesson.
He looks like a tamed animal, right?
He's been tranquilized.
He's been domesticated. This boy has been in a crate.
Right. He's in spayed or whatever. But you could see Kazuto's body language is so different than when he was with Ikuo and Ryota. Ikuo and Ryota, he's hunched over. He looks like stressed, right? Like he has something on his back. With Alan, he's like, he's leaning back. He's got his legs kind of wide open. Yeah. It was nice to see him so relaxed. What do you think about someone who is naturally just a big bubble of energy, a big ball of energy, has been told by someone that they like that their energy is a little too much? And so Alan sort of shapeshifts a little bit to become calmer, to fit more of Kazuto's aesthetic.
Yes, like he's almost like aligning himself to be more what Kazuto wants in a person. He's kind of just toned it down. I don't think Alan is compromising who he is. Mm. I think he is just, like, sometimes not everybody is ready for all of you, you know? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's a clear answer, because I do think that naturally over time, the people who have more energy, we tend to...
We got to take it down.
We take it down. We also lose some of that energy just because of life. Yeah. And so it will happen naturally. And I, you know, if you knew me at 18, I was like, you know, I was probably too much for you then too. But just like, especially having children, I feel like I've been beaten down. And so like some of that has like been diminished a little bit. And actually something I saw, it's too hard to explain, but I said something I saw where somebody commented, like, you want to be with somebody who has that high energy because you want that in your life. Cause it, like, naturally all of us will be losing some of that bubbly joy. So you want someone who will bring you up a little bit, you know? But also you want to feel like you can be your whole self in front of your romantic partner.
It's just how Alan was to him, because I don't think Alan's changed himself in the group dynamic.
Yes.
So it is really just like the one-on-one, which I think is very manageable.
And Alan very wisely and sweetly said, did you notice how I didn't react so big when I found out that we were going on the date? Whereas the previous date, he was like, yes! You know, he was so excited. He's like, I was trying to be calm, but also be mindful about other people who were not going to go on a date and hurting their feelings.
Yeah. So there's growth here. They actually, you know, they're spending a lot of time kind of just talking. Their clothes are on, you know, they go to bed.
Yes.
They sleep next to each other, say goodnight. It's a calm, relaxing.
It's very
overnight.
Civilized.
Yeah.
So very PG.
That is Kazuto and Alan's date. Ryota and Gensei. They go to a glass blowing,
jewelry making class.
Ryota, of course, gets like a black glass. Yeah. And Gensei's is like clear
with a little blue. Yeah. I love Gensei.
Oh my gosh. They have a great jewelry making session and they go to a cafe.
Wait, did you notice a song that they were playing while they were making the jewelry?
No.
It went, I know ignorance is bliss and I don't want to learn my lesson. As they zoom in on Gensei's face.
They go to a cafe and they're, you know, again, these like first date conversations. It's like, I love a cafe. Oh, I love a cafe.
This is my ideal date.
It's very sweet. They go home and make dinner.
Yeah, I thought, I was like, that's a little unfair.
What, they got gypped?
Yeah, everyone else gets to go to a nice cabin.
Yeah, and they get to go home. That was odd.
Yeah, that was odd. But it seems like the other two guys are not there.
Ryota says he didn't hesitate to write Gensei's name down. It seems like the Kazuto burden was blocking him from kind of seeing what was really in front of him.
Mm. Or he was like, I have no other options. I know this guy's into me, so let me get a date out of it.
Oh, no. I'm trying to be optimistic.
Ever the cynic here.
Yes, I'm trying to be optimistic that, you know, he saw Gensei there. And he was there all along. And when he's not distracted, he could actually see it. That's how I like to see this
pairing. I also did think that Ryota seemed a lot more relaxed than he has been with Kazuto, where he's like looking over his shoulder, trying to figure out where he is and, you know, how bad it made him feel. Whereas with Gensei, it's easy and it's kind of comforting.
So they seemingly at the end of episode 8 are in a good place. The ultimate end of episode 8.
This is what we've been waiting for. Well, Diane Shun, they are just better when it's just the two of them.
Yes.
So, you know, we've had so much hatred and anger and frustration towards Shun. And then you get to this scene and you realize he's just broken and he does want to be loved.
And he really likes Dai.
He does really like Dai. Yeah. And he's finally, I think without the pressures of other people and these situations that he was placed in, that he's finally able to be open and honest with Dai.
So they're together in this rental. They go up to bed. They have like twin size beds that are kind of across from each other. There's no way to put them together.
You could feel
the electricity.
Just the sexual energy in that room.
Oh my gosh, it was crackling. You wonder who's going to take the first move, right?
Yeah.
And I think we expected Dai to do it.
But Dai is being so cautious right now. He's not going to cross the boundary until he like gets the verbal approval from Shun because he doesn't want to piss him off.
It's a delicate game Dai is playing. He knows he's playing with blown glass like Gensei and Ryota. So Shun jumps into the bed with Dai. Tiny little twin size bed. They're definitely touching each other under the blanket.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's movement happening.
They're starting a log fire. They're tugging the slug. Shaking hands with the unemployed.
Stop!
I mean, they're just definitely feeling each other up under the blanket. They're staring at each other deeply. And then Shun goes in for the kiss.
I was so glad.
It was, like, so fraught with tension and emotion. It was like really like a movie. Like you could not write
a better
scene. Yes,
I know.
Scene.
It felt like a Korean drama.
Yes.
And Shun says, "Were you waiting?" And Dai says, "I've been waiting for so long."
Oh, yes.
And this tracks back to remember the original conversation they had when Shun said, "I'll know how I feel about you when I kiss you."
Well, the kiss has happened. This is the end of episode 8. Shun has just had this really beautiful arc. Like, he has really come into himself in the last two episodes.
If this was a novel or a Korean drama, they did an excellent job of making him the villain and then making us love him.
Yes. It's just, you know, like, it's just watching human beings.
I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, knowing what we know about his history, too, it's like, he's this whole human. We get to know all the ugly and the beautiful and the confusing parts of him. And so, you know, as much as we want to villainize him and like throw him into the fire, it makes you love him because you know he's just human. We're all as screwed up as he is.
Yeah.
We've just learned to keep it in.
So that was episode 7 and 8. Really, I feel like we could have just ended the show here.
Yeah.
It felt really neatly tied up in a bow. Marry, F, kill. We're running out of boys to marry, F, and kill.
You know, I might marry Dai.
Yeah, you're
he
right.
He also showed such a very, like, three-dimensional side of him and very sweet and caring. And I think the fact that you said he is obviously, he has been very well loved in his life. And that really showed up. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
Yeah. F. Taehyun just needs some love.
I know. I may also marry Taehyun, but maybe Taehyun. He needs a little pity.
A little pity sex, even from a woman. Yeah. He's something.
Kill would have to be equal.
I know. Oof.
We said, I think I said F equal last week, but I'm just over him.
There's something about him that is maybe too young.
Exactly. And, you know, Kazuto, he had told Equal, yeah, your energy is not like maybe you're too energetic for me. But Alan is also energetic. But there's something about Equal that feels very immature.
Okay. That was episodes 7 and 8. We have episodes 9 and 10 coming up for the boyfriend.
Well, can I also say on the heels of the Bachelor finale, which I don't watch, but I've seen clips of now, and this is a spoiler alert, but did you see what happened?
I read something, but it was just that they broke up. And I was like, isn't that always what happens?
Yeah, she proposed.
Okay.
She ended up proposing to the guy and then he accepted. And then he broke up with her over text, allegedly. And then he immediately started following a different Bachelor, like different contestant from The Bachelor. So I think there was speculation over who the bachelorette would be, and all the guys believed it would be this woman, Maria.
Okay.
And so when they showed up and it was Jen, this Asian woman, I think many of them were not attracted to her. Oh. But he immediately went and followed Maria. This woman, Maria. And it's been so dramatic. But like that compared to this, I will take this any day.
Seriously.
Love the boyfriend. If you're not watching, please go and binge all 8 episodes.
And you know, it's always a season one of something is always the most best. Pure.
The purest.
Because then season two and season three are filled with people who are models. And yeah, influencers.
Who are trying to create their influencer platform.
Yep. Okay. Another excellent 2 episodes. Can't wait for 9 and 10. Thank you guys for joining us.
And if you haven't already, please go subscribe because that will help us grow our platform. If you like what we're doing, we need your help. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. See you next week.
Yeah. Talk to you then.
Bye.